Hey,
let's go! Woo!
You are a very confusing individual, Mr. Blake. I'm just going to let you know that.
Why is that?
You're like the Joker. Like, if you were a Batman villain in this group, you would be the Joker.
I'll take that. That
I'd probably be
right.
The Penguin, to be fair, so I don't think... and Brian is definitely the Riddler, 100%.
Yeah.
Brian, uh-huh. I can see you as the Riddler, leaving tone riddles wherever you go.
Mm-hmm.
This diode has a 4 in it, but not a 9. What is it?
And you, Richard, you're part of the... You got to be the head of the crime family, I think. What's that guy's name? My brain's just failed.
The head of which crime family in Batman?
The Italian guy. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. I'm a terrible Batman fan.
Oh, I'm a worse Batman. I haven't read a Batman comic for probably 20 years, Blake. So I have played Arkham Asylum. Yeah, probably. I used to love it.
20 years?
At least, I would say.
That's terrible.
Yeah, but I also don't read comics anymore. Although,
that's also terrible.
As a complete tangent, I read an article today about how Archie comics are really big in India, and I remember finding this out when I went to India and becoming a big fan of Archie and Jughead Jones, who is, of course, a drummer. I'm just going to point that out. Early influence, maybe.
Carmine Falcone, of course, that's who it was. Duh.
Did you like the way I was able to talk complete nonsense while both of you were looking at your screens trying to figure out what you were supposed to be saying about this?
I heard it all about Archie and Jughead being huge in India. I registered all that, but I don't know what's huge in India other than curry.
Because that's and actually, I mean, that's probably not as huge as you think. However, I come today with...
I have a question. This is terrible, yes. But...
Okay.
Is
warning
is curry to
potential
Indian
racist
like what?
Comment ahead.
You know what? Never mind.
Let me tell you. Let me rephrase it, Bri. Curry is an anglicized word for the general sauces that are made in India. They don't really have a concept of curry in India. It's just food.
Right. I was going to say is it the chicken fried rice or the sweet and sour chicken version of that?
It's a little more nuanced in that over here, curry means multiple different dishes that could all be made essentially from the same gravy and different spices being added to it, because that's what the British palate expects. And
I've been wanting to ask you about this
proper Indian
curry
food.
Curry's all over the place. There's a million different curries, and I'm like, not all of it is curry, quote unquote.
I can tell you one thing, you don't ever want to get curry all over the place. The yellow stuff, I think it's turmeric, stains like nobody's business. And if you have been indulging in fungibles, you can spend an evening tracking that stain as it goes around your carpet. That may have happened to a friend of mine.
Oh, of course, yes. A dear friend.
I mean, it's like, you know... Curry is basically like the equivalent of me saying to you, Mexican food. Because actually,
in England, that's
really what we mean. We mean Indian food, the broad spectrum. I haven't had dinner today or lunch, Bri. So I'm actually now, this is the worst thing to talk to me about.
Well, I mean, and I would say like Mexican food, at least here in the Midwest, Mexican food is not... like really authentic, even if it says it's authentic.
Same
like,
here in England.
No, this is Texas food. This is not actual Mexican.
Yeah, it's always tuned to the taste. And it's exactly the same with Indian food over here. It's tuned to the English taste, although you can find authentic restaurants and they are great.
Yeah, I've got family that's Mexican by marriage and they make some killer food.
Oh.
And I'm like, why can't we have this? I want this instead. Not that joke. I want this, the real stuff. This is great.
What's really weird is the Mexican restaurants, and every state in the U.S. has hundreds of these. There's the Mexican restaurants that, quote-unquote, Mexican restaurants, that might as well be chains. They're not. They're independently owned, but they all have the exact same things. They must get their ingredients from the exact same place, and it's all like...
It's like it all comes on the same truck in some plastic bag. Maybe they just heat up.
It's really weird. And then you go to a real spot or you go to a family gathering or something and it's like, this, like you said, this is what we want.
Can we get a restaurant with this stuff?
Yeah. Well, there's a few of them around here, so I'm pretty
not much lucky. Here. No,
you're not
here.
Helping my hunger pangs very much. I'm getting hungrier by the second, and there's nothing I can do about it other than drink water. That's all I can do right now. I think
just
we should move on to something.
Just clench your stomach.
Vaguely guitar related this episode.
No, you know what? We should just stop talking about guitars altogether and just do nothing but food.
I could do it.
You could. I could do it. I'd be like, yeah. So crunchy or creamy?
Huh.
And that is how you chat up the girls in Martinsville, apparently, allegedly.
Right. Hey, speaking of Martinsville, tell me about this Friedman thing coming up.
Oh, well, I was going to use Mexico to segue, but Martinsville is closer, let's face it.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, no, I think Mexico's closer to Friedman.
Probably right, yes. My geography of your Mexico company is obviously terrible. I keep forgetting that essentially Indiana is kind of like South Michigan. Is that how I need to think of it?
That's a good way to put it. Well, I live in northern Kentucky. Okay. But once you get about 30 miles north of here, it's more like South Michigan.
Yeah, right. Or now Canada's toes, as I like to call it.
Whose toes?
Canada's.
Ah, okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. So, yes, as this episode goes out, it will be out already for one whole week. But as we record it, Bri, it hasn't gone out. We hinted at it last week in our episode, but... yeah, the Friedman IRX is, hold on, let me look at the manual. Oh no, hold on, I haven't got my glasses on. No, I'm going to need a magnifier. No, you know what, I'm not even going to look at the manual.
Maybe two magnifying glasses.
I need my special reading glasses, Bri. It's an all-tube preamp section and has much of David Friedman's special tonal jazz sprinkled liberally around its chassis. It has IR loaders and clever software written by a colleague of ours who is a very clever chap indeed. And it is absolutely wonderful. I'm going to show you it very quickly. But
yeah, this is... Yeah, so I'll do the play-by-play for
you those
listening.
You have to sign an NDA, Blake, but the listeners, I will lie, all it's right, purple.
So, and it, so it Richard has, holds up a box... Mm-hmm. It has eight knobs on the bottom and eight knobs on the top.
Look, it's probably
three switches.
30% bigger than our Terraform chassis, but a similar bent chassis. It uses a sort of plate on top, which is something we actually kind of experimented with at one point, Bri, for our pedals, if you remember. But yeah, it has 12 knobs. Four switches and 3 foot switches. That's the vital ingredient. But actually, the clever stuff is, of course, you connect it via USB. You can put it into your effects loop and use it as a preamp for your amplifier, which is how you're using yours, isn't it, Brian?
That's my, yeah. I mean, it's fantastic. I like it so much that I got a gig coming up here in a few weeks, and I am going to use this literally as my preamp into my amplifier, because the dirt channel is absolutely killer. The clean channel is pretty damn good. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I would probably tweak a few things from my chicken picking, but yeah. I mean, it's really, really good. And the type of gain does not feel, it feels like a tube amp. It feels like a Friedman amp.
Well, there's a reason it feels like a tube amp. It's got some tubes in it.
Because it's actually tubes running at high voltages, yeah.
They're not. They're just light bulbs, aren't they, Brian? No, they're actually tubes.
No. These are actually doing stuff. These are actually doing things.
Do not dissect this pedal whilst playing it. It's dangerous. That's a warning. But yeah.
I would not. I probably wouldn't poke my hands in this one.
Definitely not. Hmm. What I would say is it sounds very, very Friedman-like. And it was a little scary to plug it into my DAW and essentially then think, well, I've basically got a couple of hot-rodded Marshalls inside my computer at the moment without any processing power being used by my computer.
That's cool. That's cool.
That was the bit where I was like, and also it has a headphone input. You've got to be careful to ground it when you're using just the headphones, because if you don't, you pick up a wicked ground hum. But if you've got it plugged into your USB or into your amp, it's already grounded via both of those. If you just stick the headphones into it, you have to make sure you ground it. I used the USB. Nice and simple. But the software is awesome. You can load up different IRs on it. By the time this comes out, there'll be so many amazing demos out there. Some really big guys doing the demos as well. So not physically, that would be weird.
Hey, I mean, you know, why are you making fun here?
I'm not making fun. I'm just saying if they were all like 8 foot tall and like the camera was from their perspective, that's like saying, it's not good
we've
for
got some skinny little wimpy guys doing some videos for us too.
I mean, both of these things can be true. We can have both.
No, it's an exciting
tell
product.
Me, I have a question. I have a question. Can this, is this powerful enough? Does it have enough a juice to say run it? You can run this as your only amp solution. I know Brian's running it as a preamp. You can obviously record with it. Can you just run it to front of house or into a clean, super clean power amp? Or
100%. Like, yeah. 100%. Right, this and a powered speaker could mm-hmm. potentially be all you need. It has balanced output, so it will go into a PA straight away.
Okay.
It's not designed to actually to go into the front of a guitar. That's not front of an amp, sorry. Definitely supposed to put the front of a guitar into it and not try and take it out.
Guitar. The back of the guitar. Put it into it.
I like to use it perpendicularly. Is that a word? I'm not sure.
I'm more of a diagonal man myself. I like to diagonal my signal into there. That's how I do it.
For some reason, this has reminded me of that story about that chess playing dude who got accused of cheating using a rather intimate toy, let's just say. Like a Wi-Fi
heard about
powered
that.
One.
Yeah,
you heard about it too. I don't know how that's
come. We
that's
talked about it on Patreon.
From the IRX, but it has. No, it's a good product. Bri, I was wondering though, with my new Tweed 57 and Black 65, is there any magic to be had by combining that somehow here? Could I use
by
that
combining with the Freedman?
Yeah, could I use that as a preamp into the Freedman? Well, Freedman?
You can, but I wouldn't do it that way. I would use them both as separate preamps.
Mm-hmm. So that's a no. That's a no. You should just use them as two separate pedals.
Well, I mean, you can, but I mean, that's not my ideal. That's not my ideal use of like the Tweed or the Black 65.
What I'm really saying to you, Brian,
because I mean, it's kind of like running a. It's like running a amp preamp into an amp preamp. You're going to be real scooped. Kind of like the videos that I made where I explained this exact scenario.
Amazing. You're going
to get really scooped. A lot of bass, a lot of treble, and it's going to sound a little thin. The only way you counteract that is by having wonky EQ settings. So you take a bunch of bass out, take a bunch of highs out, raise the mids all the way up, and due to the fact that it's a passive EQ, it kind of has a flatter frequency spectrum when you look at just the EQ. So
like,
you drop some signal down, but...
Is there a glitch in the matrix? Because I feel like this is deja vu or something.
It's almost like we literally released a video about this.
But it's almost like we said this exact same thing at this exact same time last week.
I'll just get to the point. Every week, until you do it, I'm going to tell you that what I want is a...
Every week.
Every single week. Hold on, hold on.
Every week. Every week. Hey, Brian, now, I got a question.
What I want is a Brian Wampler IR loader with the Tweed 57 and a Black 65 circuit and a Tumnus and a reflection and three of the algorithms off the metaverse, please.
All is that all?
Well, for $100. What?
Doesn't everyone? I think I'm going to go to, you know, like Ford and be like, you know what I want? As an F-350 with a V8 diesel for $5,000, brand new off the lot.
No, no, no. I also want it to have optional full electric capacity.
Mm-hmm. For $5,000. Mm-hmm. No more than that. That's plenty.
That's plenty. You shouldn't need more than that. Mm-hmm.
You make me look foolish than I am.
Can be done if we try to find elementary kids that are looking for jobs, I suppose. You know?
You know, okay. I got a couple kids
that
could use some
work. Just give me the product. I'll pay for it.
No, I mean, I don't... So my whole thing is like we just temporarily we did a very limited release of the Tweed and the Black 65, and after that, like, that's done. I'm not bringing it back. I'm moving on and doing new things. So, you know,
so what
this
you're
was
saying,
just because people had asked us about it for the past 3 or 4 years. And I'm like, all right, here's the last of them. It's all the circuit boards. We're done. No more.
And
we're moving past. Moving
I
on.
Have no idea if by the time this goes out, they'll be gone or not, to be honest, because we can't predict it. They've sold pretty well. But yeah, when they're gone, they're gone. 100%. They are a one-off. I had the greatest text ever today from a friend, though, Bri. He's just got his Tweed 57, and he said, ah, this is an amazing thing, this Tweed texture you've made here. I'm like, yes, you, sir, you get it. Just going to say that.
That's when Richard threw his back out from patting it so hard.
Right. That's when Richard got an award in
gives
humility.
Me an attaboy. I never get a pat on the head or you know, a raise or a bonus. They're words
I
haven't
heard. You get appreciation bucks.
Do I wear
from? You get appreciation bucks.
I get them from our lovely listeners.
You invoice customers. People, they give you an appreciation buck.
Okay, I need to increase that. Right. it's not enough. So what is the oldest enclosure you've ever seen for an instrument?
What do you mean, like guitar case?
I used those words purposefully, man. There is a reason behind this. I'm being mysterious.
I don't know how to answer that.
Okay, the answer is not very old. Certainly not as old as the church tower I went up this weekend, because I visited my father, who rings bells. That's a thing over here. I know it probably isn't over there. And he took me up to the top of a bell tower in a church that was over 1,000 years old, and showed me these giant bells. And you know what the only thing...
I saw your video of it. That was cool.
And you know what
Go
on. No,
I was going to say, I saw your videos, and I'm like, aha, some of that's not original.
Well, no, yeah, that some of it definitely isn't original, because that would be impossible. Like, for example, the clock up there, which dates to 18-something or other, has modern motors to keep it on time, because it doesn't keep time properly. But the only thing I kept thinking while I was up there was I should have bought some equipment to record IRs. Reverb space. You know, these bells are huge. This church tower is, like I say, it was a long walk up spiral stairs.
Oh, man. Imagine the plate reverb you could create. You could create a plate reverb from that bell. That would be amazing.
Oh, man.
And these bells are huge. They weigh up. You can see pictures on my Facebook of my foolish father, who should know better at his age than to walk across giant bells wearing nothing but sandals.
No, good for him for still doing it, man.
Yeah, no, he's an interesting dude. But yes, Bri, this is our next thing in pedals. Richard's special church reverbs. But
unfortunately, you guys already use the name Bell.
Gosh darn it.
Well, that just means we had the trademark. We like Bell Reverbs.
That's true.
I like the way you're going with this. Speaking of which, I was looking at one of the manufacturers whose pedal kits I'd bought recently, and they do a take on the Wampler faux tape echo, or faux analog echo, actually, and a take on the Wampler faux reverb. I was like, I'm going to build these and send them to Brian. I'm going to make him copies of his own pedals. I doubt the circuit's identical, but it's like their take on it, right?
It depends. I mean, I've seen both. There's some companies that reverse engineer all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy to make quality pedals. So like I always say, when people say, you know, I want a website cheaper, I'm like, fine. Because, you know, quality comes at a price. And that price is pretty reasonable.
The thing they can't say is like, this is an official Wampler photo echo.
Sure. No. They say it in the same way anyone would.
Usually it's like, this is similar to the Wampler Fotepeco or something.
But if...
It's rare.
If it takes me longer to make the pedal that I have been asking you to send me than you sending it, I will be surprised, because I think I can make one quicker than I can get you to send me one now. I'm not allowed to say what
See,
it is.
Now you know. Now you know how I feel when I'm like, I need this pedal. I'll just breadboard it real quick. It's much easier, quicker, much easier.
Except I won't be quick. I haven't done much in the way of DIY. But while I'm talking about pedals, do people come to you often with new ideas for pedals, Bri?
All the time, and usually goes like this: Hey, I have an idea for a pedal, but before I tell you, I want to make sure that you're going to cut me in on the profits if you run with this idea. And that's when I respond back something like, ideas aren't generally worth much. Mm-hmm. If you want to sell your design to any pedal company, you need schematics, layouts, building materials, et cetera, et cetera. Not just the idea. We've all got ideas. Tons and tons of ideas.
A lot of times, too, when you get people from... The people who are more like me, let's put it that way, actually, who don't like necessarily design things and haven't
freaks of nature
spitballed really weird short guys, then you get ideas that sometimes sound, you know what, that would be a really, really cool idea. The problem is it's physically impossible. So, much like Richard's request earlier.
You don't diss my mini analog spring reverb. That's the thing. You just need to use really tiny springs and a big little microphone.
Bitty springs.
That's and a big little microphone.
That's how you do it, Bri. I'm telling you.
I'm just picturing, like, you know, those little, you've seen those little microphones on TikTok?
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they look like regular microphones and people like hold them up to their mouth like they're a regular microphone. I could just see one of those like inside of a box with this coil of wire and be like, ha-ha! It is my analog reverb.
Doing.
who is it who hit the bong earlier, Bri? I'm not sure it was me. I'm just saying. So how do you deal with, you know, the multitudinous requests you get for new pedals, Bri, other than sending a polite email? Have you ever been inspired to make one?
I haven't, but what we usually do is we have this show that we do once a month called The Pedal Tank, where people come and they pitch us ideas.
Mm-hmm. Now and we are talking.
We shout things at them like, you're stupid, that'll never work.
I'm prepared to offer you $10 for 80% of your company.
Right, I'm prepared to offer you... what you'll get is my advice. That's you can't put a price on that.
You can't. That's right. I've been in your situation. I understand this. I know how to get you where you're trying to go. Okay, I'm Mr. Fantastic. I know what's going on. So therefore, I'll give you $10 for 95% of your company.
Right.
Mm-hmm. See, I've never seen the American show. Over here, it's called Dragon's Den, and it was quite interesting for the first two seasons. The only famous thing I can remember coming from it was a Jamaican hot sauce called reggae sauce thing. Oh, and that the suitcase with handles and wheels, the trunky. They are the two big products I can remember. But we need to do this for pedals. I think we need a fourth member, though, don't we? Who else could sit on the panel? Who is as revered, famous, and wonderful as any of the people we know, but definitely not us?
I think we need to get, let's get somebody who's not a pedal person, but a guitar person. Like, who should it be?
Or someone perhaps from the wrestling world.
Like Greg Koch. We need Greg Koch.
Greg Koch. Yes, Greg Koch.
Yeah. He would be fantastic. Gregory,
I was
going to
say
me.
Bob Taylor, but you know what? I think Greg would be better TV.
He would. He'd be amazing. I think this is the show we need to make, Bri. Pedal Shark Tank. I think we could create a channel of just everybody, and we can open it to everybody. Are you a DIYer? Send us your pedal. We will critique it and tell you what we give. The only difference between us and the real show is we've got no money. We're going to pay you in exposure bucks. But then that's the whole show. We go, I will give you 100 exposure bucks. You know, I will give you 50.
Mm-hmm. This is genius, if somebody really wants to sweeten the deal, they're like, listen, I've got a crisp 20. Ooh. I'm just saying. The other guys aren't putting cash on the table.
I know a bar in Tallahassee where you can play 5 days a week. Yeah. Mm. I like it.
I've got some oceanfront property in Arizona also, by the way.
No, I like it, Bri. I think Pedal Shark Tank is what we need to do. Yeah, so I went to see these bells, as I said. but one of the things my father reminded me of is in the 1960s, he was pretty big in the folk scene. Someone wrote an article about him and a band that he hosted called the New Modern Idiot Grunt Band. I don't think you could make a more English name up if you tried for a band.
This pencils with what I know of your father. The other article being how he was drunk and fallen over a fence.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Do you know what I discovered from him? That was actually the second time he'd done that and been in the paper for it. So England, we don't have a lot to do. We drink and we sing. That's what we do.
And ring bells.
I was making light just because I wanted to say the name of that band and I'd miss my opportunity earlier.
I get it.
Bri, I picked up my Telecaster last week. I started playing it and I fell back in love. And you know what? I haven't played my Telecaster for almost the entirety of this year.
What?
I know.
What?
It's one of those things. I'd kind of got in the back of my head, I know these other guitars are better. Leave it. Ignore it. And then I picked it up and, oh, it was beautiful.
I'm just, I'm shocked that it took you until this long to figure that out.
Like, I mean, I am pretty stupid.
No. I mean, once a person plays the Telecaster, they generally realize it's one of the best instruments on earth.
You know, almost as good as a Les Paul.
Yeah. I've been playing that too recently. Les Pauls are great, and that will bring me straight on to the next subject in a minute. But
I want an early ball, man.
Oh, well, you know, Jamie has literally about 30 of them, Bri, including every special edition. He's the man to talk to. He loves his Ernie Balls.
They're fantastic. I love them. And I have every reason in the world to say bad things about Ernie Ball as a company, but I can't when it comes to their guitars because they are awesome. Yeah. I love Music Man guitars. Mm. Love them.
Yeah, I've played a couple and I liked them, but they've never really done it for me. But yeah, Bri, that is something new for you to get into. But I've been playing my Tele and my Les Paul recently, and I've been loving them both. I've forgotten the simplicity of a, you know, no tremolo, standard bridge, all of it. It's wonderful. Yeah, I'm into that. But it
makes you honest, you know. You know, I mean, because it kind of if you can't play very well, it shows it to you. You know,
every guitar does that to me. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
Maybe that's why I gave it up. No, it is a very honest guitar. It sounds fantastic, though. The thing about a Tele is because I've got a kind of Stratty pickup in the neck of my Tele. Even with a Stratty pickup setup, you get a different sound. There's just something about the way it's wired. I don't know whether it's the capacitors they use on the tone pots. I don't know.
Taters.
Oh, we're back to food again.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I don't know. But I agree. Telecaster is a great instrument. One of the best ever made.
Yep. And I just think I go for faith. So I was playing the Les Paul. And then I started to think about scale length, which is something I never thought I would really care about. I was just like, pick up a guitar and see.
Oh, but then yes, I started, that's huge for me.
Is it?
Yeah, big time.
So then I started to think about Jaguars versus Jazzmasters, which is probably where Blake can shed some expertise, because the Jaguar is a 24-inch scale length. The Les Paul is a 24¾, and the standard sort of Jazzmaster Tele and Strat is like 25¼, I think. So
25½.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. So there's quite a bit of variance in there, and I was thinking maybe I should try a Jaguar because of that short scale length and see how I get on with that, because I find it easy to play a Les Paul.
Yeah, the Jaguar is interesting. I wouldn't think that like three-quarter, well, when you get dissecting some of this stuff, we also have to remember that the numbers we're talking about are not exact. A lot of luthiers will go down the rabbit hole like, no, actually, the Les Paul's 24 and 6.625 or whatever. I can't even remember. It's varied a little bit. But generally speaking, these scale lengths are in the ballpark of what we're talking about.
Yes. I'm a buffoon, and if I even got them vaguely right, I did well.
Yeah. So the Jaguars are interesting. I really like playing Jaguars. I don't currently own one. Every time I do, though, I am shocked how much shorter it feels than it really probably is in actuality. It feels very much to me like, oh, this is a short scale instrument. It feels smaller. And for some people, I think that could really go a long ways to them having a nice playing experience. And I do like Jaguars, but I prefer like a Les Paul scale length is about as short as I want to go typically. And it could be just a thing where it takes a while to get used to. When I first started playing like a 27-inch scale baritone, it felt like it was a mile long to me. And now I play a 28 all the time and it feels totally normal. So, yeah.
You almost need another person to play that one. Yeah. Down on the neck. I'll pick it. You do the chords and stuff.
Yeah, see, I got short arms. I can do it. It's fine.
No, I mean, look, you adjust pretty quickly. If you're used to playing a guitar, you adjust pretty quickly. So when I pick up the Duesenberg, the scale length on the Duesenberg is something like 14 metric feet. I don't know. It's huge. But
it takes metric feet.
it takes me a while to play that after playing the Fenders. But you soon get into it. It's probably actually only just slightly over a Fender scale length, but it's just quite a wide, a long body. But yeah, I don't know. I really want Jazzmasters. And then I saw Fender have just bought out the Vintera version of the Bass 6, Blake. And now I'm in real trouble.
I know.
I don't have £1,000 to waste, but I will.
I wanted that as soon as I saw it. I was just like, oh, why do I have to know this exists?
Yeah, well, the reason is because if I do, so do you.
I want one really, really bad. Really, really bad. As if I didn't want a Bass 6 badly enough. I saw that I think it was, who made it? There's been a couple like boutique Bass 6s lately, and I'm trying to remember the last one that I saw. Who made that one?
I'm just going to make a point. The next time you see one, please text me immediately. Okay. All right. I don't care the time of the day. I need one. And did you have lunch with someone pretty special in the last week, Blake?
Yesterday, actually. He was a guest on the podcast a while back, and he lives here in Portland, and we'd been trying to get together for like probably a year or more, and you know how these things go. But yeah, his name's Eddie Martinez. Super great guy, super gear nerd, like to the extreme.
I like him already.
And yeah, just such a cool guy. It was really nice to sit down and talk with him. And so many of my long conversations, especially about music and gear and stuff, are like this, recorded. And it was kind of nice just to sit down and eat and chill and not record. Like, our conversation would have made an excellent podcast, but it's nice just to have a normal human interaction and not record it. It was really
does not really compute. Nice. Brian, immediately type this into ChatGPT.
But yeah, Eddie's played on, he was the guy playing on Rockbox from Run DMC. He played on the Bat Out of Hell stuff with Meatloaf. So, I can do anything for love, but I won't do that. That's him.
Did you find out what that was?
I could ask him. He's told me before, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
The first question.
Well, he explained the rig, and it's massive. He recorded it at Power Station, and it was like yeah, four marshals doing this and this and that. Like, it was like the most insane rig ever. I can't remember all the details off the top of my head. But they recorded that all to tape, obviously, back then. And I think that he said they ran out, they just kept running out of tape because they were they kept all of the tracks. They just kept everything. Because of
the very long, like, vibrato vocal solos that he kept putting in. Like, you can stop now, Mr. Loaf. Thank you.
Loaf. Yes. Tone it down, Loaf. But yeah, it was just cool to hear. And he's done so many things. So many things. He's written, you know, commercial music. He's done just about everything that a guitarist could do. And wow. It was cool to sit down and talk to somebody that has that vast of a level of experience. And
we walk amongst
greatness. Still have so much passion about it, you know?
Yeah, that's very, really very cool. What did you eat?
And the bimbap was good too. So there's that.
What's a bimbap?
Bimbap? Like the Korean, like, rice and meat dish?
Yeah, no? So I had this the other day with another of our listeners when he said he went to a Vietnamese sandwich shop, and I was like, oh, fancy. And he was like, not round here. And I'm like, yeah, there's a difference in our countries. We don't have a big Korean or Vietnamese population. So those sort of foods are exotic to us over here. Kimchi is like a new thing over here. So, yeah,
oh,
we're definitely behind on that. Who's designing switching systems this week?
Are we talking about... Wow, you're just going to go into all my stuff.
I am young, sir.
I see. Yeah, so Brian, I know you've been through this before, and this is a new thing for me, but like when you get a digital pedal with a digital switching system, I didn't realize how many options you suddenly have with just like two switches. It's like, oh, we press and hold this and it does this. Or you can do so many different commands when you just have two switches that are digitally controlled. I was flabbergasted how much time you could spend like deciding what the individual stomp switches do.
Oh, yeah. You can overly complicate it really easily.
Really easily. Like, and that's what
happens. When you hold the switch down for 2.2 seconds, it does something different than 2.3 seconds.
I was like, wow, out of all the little, like, I've been a part of trying to tune circuits and like try to adjust the sound, but I'd never been a part of the switching part before. I don't know why. And it was like, well, what do we want these switches to do? I'm like, turn it on and off? What do you mean? It was like, oh, if we hit this one, it engages this part of the circuit and this part of the circuit. Or if we stomp over here, it'll turn off both. If we stomp this one twice, it'll turn on everything at the same time. I was like, oh, geez, I didn't know the
level of headache. Or when you hold this switch down and turn this knob, it's now a different parameter.
Right. So I got my mind bent a little bit out of shape with that this week.
That's fun.
Yeah.
It's interesting because like when you look at our Metaverse plugin, it has more knobs and stuff because of the different functionality with the switches.
Not forever, Bri. Hold on there, Bri. You wait and see what we're doing with it. It's going to be cleverer than ever soon.
Really? Even more cleverer.
We've got some enhancements coming that everyone's going to love. It's really, really exciting. But yeah.
Cool.
We might show
you some good. I got some really good feedback from some producers.
Oh, about really?
That Metaverse plugin, yeah. They loved it.
Oh, well, we've got plenty of plugins.
I'll tell you what, Bob, this is so good, man. That's exactly how they said it, too.
Did Taylor Swifty get into producing music?
It's goddamn. His plugin is really good.
Hey Tater, what do you use the Metaverse plugin on? Like, is that on the washboard or is it on the?
I like to use it on the banjo.
Oh, the banjo, yeah.
Ouch. Not well. That is recommended. Actually, it'd be amazing on a banjo. It would be like that song by the Eagles that became the Hitchhiker's theme. Oh, what was it? Oh, I forget. Song of the Wizard or something like that. Someone will tell me. What I was going to say though. We do our best to avoid our ghasts from being flabbered when we design digital pedals and make a lot of effort in making our interfaces as simple as possible. And trust me, that's one of the hardest things in the world to do, to simplify interfaces. Well,
when you're trying to cram a lot of features in, right?
Oh, dude, yeah. Because, Brian, you're both right. You know, you can do so much with a digital pedal.
Yeah, there's some point where you're like, you know what we should do? Just put an LCD screen and a bunch of banks on it. Scroll buttons. That's what we need, scroll buttons.
Yeah.
And then you're back to like, hey, look, it's 1996 again.
And also, I will still let you know, and it's one of the reasons the IRX was pretty good from Friedman for me, is I cannot stand working with computers in my spare time, no matter what they are. That said, I have built a mini gaming thing, but I'll tell you about that on the other show, on the Patreon. Yeah, I like to just turn some knobs, press some switches, and play.
Sometimes you need a screen, though. Sometimes. Once in a while, you need a screen.
Rarely. Although I was thinking about this today. What about the concept of me because I've got to rejig my boards drastically soon. What about the concept of like a utility board and a main board? So on the utility board, I'd put like my switcher, my tuner, other kind of general utility pedals like that. And on my main board would just be 50 Shades of Dirt. That's the that's the woman's literature breakthrough of next year.
That sounds like my autobiography. 50 Shades of Dirt, and it's nothing about relationships. It's just electronic circuits.
It could be both.
I am trademarking that right now. I am trademarking that thing right now. 50 Shades of Dirt.
You got to cut me in.
I started
80%. I want 80% of all your profits, or I'm taking my idea.
No, bug that, Richard. I want 80% of revenue. Total revenue. That's what I want.
I want 80% of
utility board. Huh? We're talking about utility boards? No? Yes? Maybe?
Well, we were until your video.
I'm thinking about it.
Weird.
Your video's been weird the whole time, but it's okay, because like your video is synced about a minute behind.
Really? Because like you're fine, Brian, and Richard's been glitching on me the whole time.
Oh yeah, Richard's fine to me. It's you. Like you're still, right now you're making facial expressions that go with what you said about a minute ago.
A minute ago?
Yeah, literally like 60 seconds ago.
That's a long time.
So yep. Maybe I should just turn off my camera. But you keep buffering every now and then.
Oh, wait, you just said a minute ago, just now.
There, now I'm gone. How's that?
Now I've got nothing. This doesn't make any sense at all. I can't see your lips move.
You don't need to see my lips move. You don't even know that I'm real. I'm not a real person. I am a figment of your imagination.
Maybe I'm a ventriloquist.
I wonder how our AI actually never been real. Been going down. Talking of not being real. Oh, we've got to talk about the tonal calamity that... Christone Kingfish Ingram.
We do. We need to head off here to Patreon too.
But it's the worst thing ever, Bri.
Yeah.
He was pointing at his board and like they were all stomping it and it wasn't working.
I'm looking at it right now.
I'm looking at the black screen. I have no idea what you're looking at.
You wouldn't be able to see it anyway.
You don't know that. You don't know me.
I think I do at this point, actually.
Is everybody on this show high today except me? Has something strange happened in American water? Have you all been,
The way, speaking of America stuff.
Oh.
Oh, no.
According to TikTok, the rapture happened last, the 23rd. Last Friday, I think.
That's right. Didn't they invite you? I was invited. Blake was invited. Every one of your friends was invited, Bri. Weren't you there?
Apparently the rapture happened. So
it was weird. We didn't see you there. We were all wondering where you were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
There was like free stuff.
Yeah.
Little bags of like rapture gifts.
I wanted my debt to just mysteriously disappear personally. But.
I can help you with that. Let me introduce you to the magical world of gambling.
I was thinking like, can the IRS, can we just make them get raptured?
Take Are them you out. Substituting the word raptured for exterminated in your head?
No, I was going to say, I think
no,
I feel like
no,
the IRS
no.
would go the other way.
Who
like,
is it?
If they got all taken back.
You know what? Which, whatever. You know, whatever.
Whichever.
We're sure you're lovely people.
Hey, if the government's listening, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. Yeah.
If my government's listening, you're all incompetent.
and here's our queen on one of your TV shows.
Well, she's dead now, Bri.
Not queen. What's her name? The chick on Suits.
The king?
No.
Meghan Markle?
What is her name? That's it. That's her name. Yeah. Every time
I'll let you off because it involved TV and that's not your strong point.
Well, yeah. My wife keeps telling me that she's like, I just can't not see her as the princess or whatever she is over there.
Well, she renounced it, so she better stop seeing her.
She ain't nothing over mm-hmm. here, son. We hate her in this country. The papers have told us to do that. Well, yeah. I don't, personally. I don't give a tinker's cuss for any of the royal family, but some people...
tinker's cuss.
Some people are somewhat, tinkers. Worried about such matters.
Tinker's cuss.
A tinker's cuss. Tinker's cuss.
A little bit of a what Python a reference there, as well as an old English reference. So, you know, a tinker is someone who fiddles with things and probably like...
That's a tinkerer.
Yeah. Well, over here, it's a tinker.
Oh, my. Tinkerer. Why do you guys keep screwing up our language? Stop that. Stop that now.
Sir, we will have a fist fight because I will just... I will just show the sir Exhibit A, the classic... children's rhyme, Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy. Also a great film and, of course, a fantastic book.
Love the book.
Mm-hmm. What? You should watch the film.
I love the book.
You should definitely.
Yeah, film's great.
Actually, you shouldn't. It's a little bit dark. Actually, Bri, you
I can
better,
turn up the brightness.
Don't even think about films. In fact, you know what? We better go before this gets dark.
Okay, see you later.
Bye!
Hold on, we have to hear from our executive producers real quick.
Oh, yeah, let's hear. Who's doing it today?
Oh, good grief. No, please. Please, no.
I think today is... I think Shrek's joining us today.
Oh, no,
Shrek? No. Well, hi, it's nice to see you. You know, I haven't been in the swamp in a minute. It's really nice to see you. All right, I'll let you take right, the
let's
stage.
Let's just let Shrek have it, and to everyone else, we'll see you next week.
Bill Beers, Teak Young from the Man the Hell podcast, Justin Burke, Donkey, David Tindo, Nighthoss, Dave Trombetti, Sharon Weaver and the band Reduced to Lust, Eric Wilson, Vidar Fashtar, it's a good Scottish name, Michael Freer, Sean Arbo of Gunsleet Wiring, Rick Calhoun of Honey Picks, Patrice Fodays, DJ Patty F, Dylan Talks Tone, Scientific Uppercut, Kevin Harrington, Barry from Grizz Guitars, Tom Kelly, Pigsy, Donkey, John O'Neill, Robert Carr, Hunter Hudson, Rob Stokes, Jordan from Poison Noises, Nick Spino, The Twang Kings, Sasha Sir, Jay Stratton, Seth Williford, Grumpy Mike, Harry Post, The Studio Rats, Harvey Pedals, Alison Carroll, Patrick Zeller, Bum Laser, Anthony Stevens, and Chris Brown.
Later.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Chasing Dome podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com and I'll personally get your email. To email Blake, simply email info@tonemob.com and Richard can be reached at richard@wamplerpedals.com. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is to share this podcast with a friend, leave a review and a rating wherever you normally get your podcasts. Also, check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob. And make sure you check out WamplerPedals.com for blogs, videos, and of course, guitar effects. If you'd like to hear the post-podcast conversations and to get even more content, twice the amount of podcast episodes, simply check out our Patreon at patreon.com/chasingtonepodcast. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.